Pray what I have to say this morning will be a help to you. Pastor Luke was here in Matthew 7 this morning in Sunday school, just working through the book of Matthew. We're going to start reading in verse 24. Matthew 7 and verse 24, I'm sure a familiar passage. A little while ago I was looking at it and some things appealed to me out of it. And I pray there'll be a help to you here this morning. We'll pray, ask God to help us, and then we'll take the Word of God and open it. Father, Lord, we ask that you'd please help us to minister thy Word. Lord, I'm asking that you might just help me to have the liberty that I enjoy, and that, Lord, you'd help me to minister thy Word here to the people. Lord, a good crowd here this morning, and I don't know just where each of them are at in relationship with thee. But I pray that the Word of God and the Spirit of God might minister it, Lord, to meet the need in each heart. And may God, we leave this place not the same, but Lord, we might leave it changed. And we ask it in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The chapters 5, 6 and 7 here of Matthew, if you have a red letter edition Bible, the words of Jesus being in red, you'll find that most of the words, if not all the words of Matthew 5, 6 and 7 are all in red. Jesus is talking, it's his Sermon on the Mount. No one ever gave a sermon like Jesus did in his Sermon on the Mount. He gave it, it covers a lot, but he gets to the end, and knowing that the people were listening, but also knowing that not all of them would do as he said, he closes with this short parable for it. As he speaks, as he gives it to them, they're listening, and they'd never heard anyone like that, because in verse 28, we finished at 27, verse 28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Verse 29, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Oh, when they listen to Jesus preach, they say, when they listen to what Jesus had to say, they're thinking, nobody ever spake like this man. Nobody ever gave us what this man's given us today here on the Mount. No one ever spake like he did. No one ever spake in such a way that he had authority in what he said. And yet they were happy at that particular point in time. Not all of them had listened to what he'd said in chapters 5, 6 and 7. Not all of them had taken it to heart. Not all of them had did what they wanted to do. But Jesus spake, he knew their words when it came to the end. Some, many, were satisfied with hearing only. Were glad to be there, glad to hear it. They had a mental assent, yes, that is right. But they weren't going to do what Jesus had said to do. He concludes with this parable of two builders. Help to remind the hearers that they are to do something with what they have heard. How often do we turn up to church and we hear, but we don't do anything? We come in, we hear, we shake hands, we enjoy each other's company, and we leave, and we don't really leave thinking, what do I need to do with what I've heard? And in it, Jesus has given this parable that he might be able to do it. There are two builders that we've read. There are two builders. Each of them was building his house. Something personal. They didn't build somebody else's house. They built their house. And as each of them built their house, each of us are building the house of our life. Whether you realize it or not, whether you regard it or not, you're building the house of your life. You are a builder. It's not something that just gets passed over, but you are building something with your life. Our lives are made up of who we are, and that's our character. Our lives are made up of what we do, our service. We all are something, and what we are determines largely what sort of life we do, what sort of life we live. It stems from our character. So we're going to have just two main thoughts today out of this. What these two builders had in common and what they had in contrast, or what they had different. Two builders, they both set apart. Firstly, what did they have in common? Well, firstly, they both heard Christ's sayings, verses 24, verse 26, heareth these sayings of mine. As he speaks to both builders, he's saying, both these builders heard what I was saying. Both these builders were listening. Both these builders were in attendance. Jesus wasn't talking about two contrasting people, between a Jew, between a believer and a Jew, between a believer and a pagan. He was talking to two people. He gave the illustration of two people sitting under the sound of his voice, hearing what he was saying, and they're listening. They listen to what he was saying. And then that's a good thing. They were in a good place to hear something good. What they had in common, these two builders, they listened to what he had to say. How important it is that we hear. Have you ever got to... You heard somebody say something, but then you really didn't hear it. Oh, I wish I'd remembered. I wish I'd remembered what they said. Now, what did they say about that? Was it three turns then a left, or three turns then a right? Or was it a right turn then three lefts? Oh, I should have written it down. I should have known that. But here they are, they're listening. Jesus said, these two builders, they've listened to my words. They've listened to what I've had to say. In the churches of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, each church has this, the spirit of the, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And what we really need in our days is people to turn up to church, and for the man of God to be in touch with God, Spirit-filled, and give. And that the Spirit might say, hear what is being said in the church. Hear. Don't let it pass by. Don't let it go. When the doors over here are closed, don't let it just pass on through. Make sure you take it and capture it and use it. They both sat under, they both heard what Jesus had to say. They both saw the necessity to build. They both listened, they both saw the necessity, I must build. What Jesus said was not totally lost on them. What Jesus said, they both went out, they both builded. They heard what he said and they did something with what he said. They didn't just let it go. They heard, okay, I need to act. I need to do something. And they set about building. They set about doing what they had to do. They weren't neglected. They heard something. They turned up to church. They turned up and they sat under it. They listened. Oh, they didn't neglect this religious talk that Jesus gave. They listened. There's something to that. I want to do it. They listened with enough understanding to know, I must act. I must do something with what Jesus has just given me. I must do something with it. They were both influenced by what they heard. It wasn't just something that they heard, but it didn't impact. They didn't neglect it. It influenced them to action. What he had to say and how he said it, it influenced them to act, to take action. They heard what he said, and they believed that what they needed to do was to make some sort of provision for the future. I need to build. I need to do something. I need to do something with what Jesus. They listened, they understood. It wasn't just a waste of time out there on the mountainside. They listened to what he had to say, and they did something with it. Oh, how easy it is that we ever get to that point where we just let it pass by and we think, no, I'm not going to do it. But these men, the ones that listened, they heard my sayings, they did something, they built that house. But you know, they actually built the house. Have you ever known any goners? Goners, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. A goner? Goners are everywhere. I'm going to build a house. Oh, how'd that house go? I love it's always, Nah. But both these men, they selected a nice place. They built the house. They had plans drawn up. Nothing's ever said it was a shoddy house. They built a house. They put it down. They built plans. They got it all together. They got it all set up. And they built. They didn't stop. Have you ever driven by a house and it's half built? And you think, are they ever going to finish that? And some never do. But here's two men. They heard, they did something, and they lived it out. They went to fruition with it. And they built a house. And they set up. Each built their own house. Oh, they made sure that they got in and they finished what they started. How often we start and we don't finish. You know, my wife said to me, she said, what are you going to do tomorrow? I'd come home, I work out in the mining industry, I'd come home. She said, what are you going to do tomorrow? Nothing. Nothing. You did nothing today. Yeah, well, I didn't get it finished. I've got to finish it tomorrow. You know, the wife look. I don't know how they do that. They say, oh, I do. They get smarter, men get dumber. They get the look, they get the multitasking, and men are still, when do we eat? The builders got started and they finished. They planned, they acted, they got it to that point where they could live in it. Because it would seem like they're living in it. Both houses face storms. Two houses are built. Two men listening to what the Savior had to say. They were moved to do something. They did something. They built. They didn't stop building. They didn't defer. They didn't put on afterpay or whatever. They got the job done. They got it finished. And it seems like as soon as they got it finished, and the house was built upon a rock, end of 24, and the rain descended. Verse 26, the man built upon the sand, and the rain descended. In both instances, the storm was the same. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Oh, it just kept getting beat upon. Lives will get beat upon. Homes get beat upon. Churches get beat upon. The rain descended. Sometimes troubles come from above. And then it said the floods came. Sometimes troubles come from underneath. And the winds blew. Sometimes the storms come sideways. Each of those things. And the rain descended. And the floods came. And the wind blew. and it connects. Sometimes they all come at once. It's coming down from above. It's coming up from underneath. It's coming from side to side. And you're just thinking, how do I get through this storm? We had the, a few years ago, we were up in Rockhampton when Cyclone Marsha went through. I'd gone out to work. I'd left the day before it was supposed to hit. It was a Category 1 when I left that afternoon to go out to work. I drove out to Blackwater. By the time I get out to Blackwater, they'd forecast a Category 5. So each part of the afternoon, I'm thinking, do I come home? And Linda said, you're already out there. Don't come home. It was already dark. But she said, as the cyclone passed over Rockhampton, all the winds were blowing. They were all blowing in one particular direction as it came over. And then it was still, she called me, still had telephone. She called me out, how are you doing? Yeah, doing good. She said, right now we're in the eye of the storm. It's all quiet, nothing going on. She said, better go. The wind started to pick up and the wind started howling from the opposite direction. And she said it just kept going around. It sounded like there was a jet outside the house and it was just screaming. It was so loud. Storms will come in life. And how your life is built makes a difference. Storms will come. We don't get to dictate how the storms come. We don't get to dictate the severity of the storms. But storms will come. Storms will blow. And they will just keep going. It would seem like both these builders resided in the home, in the life, in the house that they built. Both thought that the place, it doesn't say that. Allow me to have a little bit of a sanctified imagination. I don't think anyone builds a house for them to stay on the outside and look at it. They build a house so they can live in the house. I believe these builders were in the house. And every one of us lives in the security of what we've built in our life. Every one of us has a hope in what we've done with our life. To get through life hopeless, without hope, makes it rough when you face a storm. We've just covered what the men had in common. We're all trusting something. They trusted what they'd built. But notice how the builders were different. There are different ways of learning. Three ways we can learn. We can learn by repetition. Over and over and over and over. We keep listening over and over. Repetition. We learn by what things are, by comparing, by what's in common with two different things. We learn. We also learn by what is different. The contrasts. And the builders here, Although they had some good things in common, they also had some things that they differed in. Firstly, they differed in their character. One was wise and one was foolish. The character of each builder was different. The sort of character that we are will determine what sort of house we build. The wise and the foolish. See, someone with wisdom, that they'll set their mind to something, that they'll have a pursuit. It won't be a lowly pursuit, that they'll have a higher pursuit, and they'll work out how to get to it, and they'll persevere, and they'll keep pressing on till they get to where they want to be. Folks, if you're wise, you'll give thought to the value of your soul. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If you're wise, you're giving some sort of thought to your soul, a one-off in this world. Your soul is a one-off. A wise person considers their soul. A wise person considers eternity. A wise person, you're thinking ahead. Oh, isn't that a little bit morbid? No, no, you're thinking ahead. We pay insurance companies money because we thought ahead enough. We don't want our car or our house or something like that to get damaged. We pay for health insurance or life insurance. We're thinking ahead. Think ahead for your soul. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The wise builder, his character, he thought about it and he acted. The wise began building, but the foolish... I've wondered about that foolish. Can't help but think that he built upon the sand. So we'll say he's got ocean views. Why did he build upon the sand? Did he just like that position? Did he build upon the sand because it was easy to build? If you're going to build upon a rock, you've got to do a lot of work to dig down, to get a level. You've got to do a lot of work to dig. But the foolish, no rock there, just sand. Dig, 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 dig. And she built. Was the foolish so keen on making an impression, of casting a perception, that he was all right? But the foolish, he built, but he built upon the sand. And the floods came, the winds blew, rain. I think the foolish man was industrious. He planned and he got the job finished. He got a house he could live in. I think he was industrious. And he finished. They differed in their character. They differed in their practice. How'd they differ in their practice? The wise man did what Jesus said to do. The foolish man did not what Jesus said to do. They were different in their practice. They were different. Three sorts of people in this world: the wise, the fool, and the simple. We find that over in the book of Proverbs. The wise, he knows and does. The fool, he knows but doesn't do. The simple just doesn't know, so he doesn't do. They're different. One was able to build. One heard and did something the way Jesus said to do it. It seemed like one had a profession, one had a possession. Seemed like one had something in the head, the other one had something in the heart. It's got to pass through the head into the heart. It just can't stop it. You hear, you understand, yes, it's got to move. It's got to move down to the heart. It's like the two sons in Scripture. One said, "I'll go, sir." Dad says, "I need you to go work in my field." And one says, "I'll go, sir." But he didn't go. The second one says, "I'm not going." But in the end, he repented and he went. And they said, which one did the will of the Father? The one that went. There was that change of heart. I will go. I will do. The character between the wise and the fool, the character makes all the difference. I'll hear and do. I work with fellas. They're in their 40s, 50s, 60s. The supervisor says, we'll do it like this. We'll do it this way. They hear, but they don't do. How much worse is it, instead of taking it from a work environment to a spiritual environment, when the Word of God says, this is it, do it this way. Oh no, I'll do it some other way. I heard the testimony of a man this past week. He said, I got looking for Jesus. I tried to figure out if all this was true about Jesus and religion, if God really existed. And so he started looking at Islam, and he looked at Islam, and they said, well, yes, yeah, Muhammad is the prophet, but Jesus, he was a good man too. Jesus is a way, but this is our way. And then he listened to the Mormons, he'd listened to the Jehovah's Witness. They all said that this is our way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is a way, but this is the way. We are going, you know, we're doing this. And he kept thinking, why are all these religions saying that Jesus is a way, but we're doing it this way? He said, I might as well just go to Jesus and find out. And Jesus was the only one that said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he said, I'm going to go. I might as well just go to the one they're all talking about. And do what he said rather than, yeah, keep an ear on Jesus, but I'm going to do something else. Oh, how much different it is, how much better it is that we will do what Jesus says. Jesus says, I am the way. He says, I'm not just an option. I am the way. There's no other way. The wise says, I'm going to listen to that. The fool says, well, yeah, okay, Jesus. Okay, so... yeah, Jesus is a way, but now how do you want to do? You want to do it like, I could really live like that. I could do that. I couldn't. But Jesus isn't looking at renovations. He's looking at turning the whole thing upside down, starting again. And he puts a new heart within. And with that new heart within, he puts a new power within to be able to do it, because you can't do it on your own. We have to get to that point. The wise and the fool, they heard. They both heard, they both acted. The biggest difference in between the two was the foundation that they built upon. That's the biggest difference. Jesus said about the house. Jesus said, the wise built, the fool built. They built a house. It was by everything, the house was finished. It was complete. There's nothing said in there that either of them built an ugly house. If you're going to build a house, you're not going to build something ugly. You're going to put a few features in there that just suits you. It might be the colour you just want. It might be the actual aspect. You know, in Queensland we talk about that northerly aspect. It's funny, down here we talk about that. In America, they talk about a southerly aspect because of where the sun is in the sky. Jesus never said of the fool's building, that's ugly. The biggest thing he said about what the fool had built was that he built his house on the wrong foundation. Doesn't matter how pretty your house is if you build it upon the wrong foundation. Is it going to make a difference if your house is built on a swamp? Is it going to make a difference how pretty it is? You want to make sure it's built on good foundations. Why would anybody be building the house of their life upon a foundation other than Jesus Christ that's not going to go the distance? And when the storms of life come, when you get past this life and you get into eternity, when you get to that point in time, that it's not going to last. We wouldn't build a home. Surely none of us would build a home in this world on a poor foundation. But many people build their lives on a poor foundation. You know the difference with the sand? Oh, it's pretty. I can imagine being right on the water, great views. But the sand is very yielding. A good wind blows and it's gone. You go a bit further, the rains come, the floods. You get a high tide, you get a king tide, and it just moves. The sand moves. Have you ever gone down the beach and you go out into the waves and you get down there and you get all set? And the waves come in and go out and come in and go out. And underneath your feet, it just starts washing away a little bit. It washes away a little bit more. And so you try to work it a little bit better. I'm not going to let it take away from under my feet. But the moving of that water in and out eventually just washes away. Oh, there's a little hole there around you. But there's nothing under your feet. You live life in such a way, you put your feet down, you think this is it. Oh, this is how I'm going to build my life. But you're building upon that wrong foundation. And it's just getting washed. It doesn't even have to be violent waves. Just the moving of the water, and that way, that sand is taken away. I really do think it is amazing. People will build their lives on an improper foundation, but they'd never do that with a house. Never. Never. What, you think I'm a fool? No. Shows wisdom building it on a sure foundation, on a rock. That's smart. That's wise. So why build the house of your life on a foundation that can be easily removed and be taken away? That you cannot retain the sand under your feet when you're down the beach. You cannot retain it. Do as best you can. Curl them toes up really tight. Wear them thongs that are, about 6 inches wide or something, It still washes it out. And lastly, the biggest difference between them, not just their character, not just what they do, their practice, not just... not just the building of the house on the wrong foundation. The biggest difference was the fall. Jesus never says the house was great. Boy, that's a great house. Look at that house. Look at these features. Cathedral, da-da-da-da-da-da. Wow. Jesus never said the features were great. He never said they were ugly, but he never said they were great. But when the houses fell, when the house fell, he said that the fall of it was what? Was what? Great. the fall of that house made more of an impact than the building of it. See, the wise man, his house was stood. It was on a rock. It was settled. It wasn't going to move. Oh, it takes more work to build upon a rock, but it's there for good. But the fool, no, he wanted something really quick. He put it up there and away he goes. That foundation was worked on, and it was all gone. And the foundation was left. And it said the fall of that house was great. It never said, that's a great house in the building. Or great effort, nothing was said. When that house fell, Jesus said, great was the fall of it. How did a house get like that? It was built upon the wrong foundation. No other foundation can no man lay than that is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. He is the rock. He is the one to build a life upon. But all too often, we think, oh, look, you haven't got to do that. The chances of a storm coming. Look, come on, look, be real. Chance of a storm coming. Out of work a few years ago, we had a 1 in 100 year flood. And it was high, it covered a good part of the mine site. 1 in 100 year. You know, 2 years later, we had 1 in 200 year flood. Oh, just when they thought, and they're all down there packing bags, sandbags, they're filling them up, they're down there. And they built up some levee banks to try to keep the waters out of certain parts of the mine. They did all that to think, oh, that's it for 100 years. Oh no, 2 years later, we get a bigger flood that only comes once every 200 years. The foundation upon which we built will be tested. Our lives won't last built upon the wrong foundation. They must be built upon the right foundation. Please don't think that the Bible tells us to build our lives on Jesus Christ. Please don't think, but that's what the Bible says, I'm going to do it my own way. You'll find that there'll be a crash. You may recover, you may not. We do have a second chance God. But have you heard the phrase, do it once, do it properly? Sometimes, do it once, do it properly. Just do it right the first time and it will last. Do it right and it will go the distance. Do it right and it will make through just what we need to do. I don't know what time I started. I don't know what time I finished. People will build upon the sand. Maybe they say, well, look, I'm a Christian. I decide one day I was going to be a Christian. It doesn't matter. It's not what we decide. It's what God does in our heart. Oh yeah, look, I've built my life upon my church membership, my church ritual, my baptism, my Christian family. It's not enough. Each of us needs our own foundation upon which to build. And we have to build our own lives. We have to build them ourselves. No other foundation can no man lay than that is Jesus Christ. Have you ever known anybody? Have you heard the phrase, oh, they've just changed the goalposts? Give me a nod or a shake. Don't you hate it when people change the goalposts on you? You think you've got, now how do you want this done? Oh, okay, right.
and you do it the way they you think they want it done. Oh no, no. What's that mean? That means they've just changed the goalposts. They've moved them in real tight and they've put the crossbar real high. The things of this life, goalposts will change. Depending who you come up against, what religion, what boss, what husband, what wife, what home, what blah, 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 they'll change. Jesus Christ never changes. It's always the same. The foundation is always the same. But brother, what if I've started building and it's, I don't like to say this, but it's not all that I'd hoped it would be. Can I say it's not too late to tear it down and start again? If you've got the right foundation, you've got the right place, the right thing to start with. Brother Neil, I've started, but Jesus ain't my foundation. Walk away from it and start again, building upon Jesus Christ. He's a foundation upon which to build. There is no other foundation that's going to last, that's going to help you through this life, and when you get to eternity, when our life is examined, and they look at it and say, Jesus Christ is your foundation. Yes, it is. That's what we want to hear. Oh, they'll come. Please don't miss out on an opportunity to build your life on Jesus Christ. That little kiddie's chorus there, Sunday school chorus. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be plenty of other options. There's plenty of options in building a house. Oh, you don't need bricks and mortar. You just need bamboo and grass. Sure. Look, you don't need a foundation. Just build it upon the sand. Just stick a couple of sticks in the ground. You're good to go. We wouldn't do it with a house. Why do we do it with our lives? Pastor, why don't you come? Folks, please, don't put it off. Build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ.